Hey, Potters. Welcome to episode 289 of Cosplay, the podcast for all things cosplay.
Yay.
It's cold, y'all.
It's really fracking cold. And I keep looking at my thermostat and it's like, it tells me it's this, but I'm like, it don't feel like that. It's still cold in here. It feels colder now than it did in the days when we had the icy parts.
Oh, I already know in advance my thermostat is lying to me. The temperature, it says, is only the temperature of the air that is right next to the thermostat.
That sounds about right.
And nowhere else.
Nowhere else where around. I live.
It is probably a good 5 degrees colder where I am sitting than where my thermostat is. And that's fine.
That sounds about right.
This is why you see me bundled up with this nice fuzzy scarf and, you know, sweats and everything else, because we just don't. I mean, I don't want to say that we don't know how to deal with cold, because we do.
We do and we don't.
We just don't suffer it well.
Honestly, the hard part with it for me is just because our infrastructure is just not set up for it. So it's just difficult to go out and do anything or go anywhere or to be able to resolve something. We're just kind of stuck.
I will tell you that you see me wearing gloves right now, and it's because it actually, when it gets cold like this, it actually affects my hands, and it makes my hands very stiff, almost like arthritis, even though I don't have arthritis, but it's that kind of feeling to it. So some of you may actually understand like how I'm feeling, but it means that I can't craft very well. I can't work on cosplay. I can't sew. I can't paint. I can't do much of anything with my hands. I can't even type very well, because my hands get so cold and stiff that I literally cannot move them well. And so while I do love cold weather, when it gets this cold, it's a little much, because yeah. It's like, I want to get stuff done. I want to finish Athena, because I'm like, I'm seeing the light at the end of the tunnel with the finish line, but I literally just could not move my hands for the last week, almost week and a half now. And I just cannot do anything until the weather goes back to normal. Texas doesn't really have a normal.
We don't have a normal.
Somebody posted on Reddit, and I thought this was hilarious, but they said that Texas is putting out temperatures like Powerball numbers, like 37, 73, 8, 52.
Yeah.
It's like, actually, it was 60 degrees yesterday, and it's 37 this morning, and I think right now it's 25. So, yeah. I want to work on cosplay. I want to craft. I want to do something.
You want to do something. I understand.
I want to do something.
I'm guessing, is that your cosplay update?
I don't have a cosplay update, because I literally can't make my hands move.
Well, if it makes you feel any better, I literally couldn't move for a couple of days because I hurt my back. It's at a point now where it's actually tolerable. There were a couple days where I couldn't stay sitting for very long because it actually actively was hurting me. I had to stand and work, and that was fun. But before I hurt my back, I'll show you a photo of what I have been doing, which was more organizing. And I'm very happy about this photo. You guys have absolutely no idea how much it thrills me to have this level of organization that I can pull open the cabinet and see this. I know where everything is. And it all looks so wonderful.
See, why do I keep thinking you need to make this into a GIF where it shows the doors opening like the gates of heaven, and you see the suddenly bright light emit from out
yeah.
the middle of the cabin, and then you just see Sailor Moon sparkles everywhere.
That would be awesome. But yeah, so this was before I hurt myself by cooking, of all things. Getting older is great, kids. Yeah, I was able to get all of my stuff in my cabinet organized. So now when I open stuff, I'm like, I see where everything is. I can instantly pick it up. I don't have to go digging. I don't have to go hunting for stuff. It's fantastic. And then I did the same thing with my closet. I was like, okay, I know I want to throw some things out. So I threw out a couple of costumes. And there were a couple of garment bags that I changed out. One, because of age. Two, I got the ones that are more of like the clear. They're not 100% clear, but they're pretty close, so at least now I know what's in them without having to open up every single bag and having to look through them. I was like, you know what, if we're just going to make everything nice and neat and clean, let's just do it across the board. So got those changed out, so now my closet's all nice and organized. I made sure to double check my wigs that they were in the right locations, because I have them color coded, because I'm weird like that. And yeah, that's what I was doing, is organizing and getting things ready for the series. And now it's like I feel like I'm mentally in a better place that I can start working on something whenever I get the dumb book done. There you go. There's my cosplay updates.
And actually, as part of our cosplay updates, part of what we worked on is what you will see later on in this episode, because we actually worked on a pretty magnificent interview, I'm not gonna lie. And so that did take a bit of work, but we think you all will enjoy it. But that's later in the show, because first, we have announcements.
I can only think of the one announcement, just the simple one, which is all it is a reminder from those who listened to us last
Yes.
time. It's just a reminder that we're moving our schedule from the usual once every 2 weeks to once a month, and it'll be starting in February. January is just being the special snowflake, and then it's all gravy. So yeah, we'll be doing one episode a month starting next month. It'll be recordings on the third Friday with release on the fourth Saturday. And I think that's pretty consistent every single month. Even in March, which is the weird one because of this year's a leap year,
Yes.
so things kind of got squished back in a weird way. That's fun. But yes, that should be the cadence. It's going to be every third Friday we're recording. Every fourth Saturday is the full episode release. And then we're still doing the after session that following Sunday. And we'll be doing that all the way through November. We'll take December off. And then we'll be back again in January for season 14 and episode 300.
Indeed. And the other announcement is, as always, if you have any product you want us to review, any
Yes.
guests you'd like us to have on the show, any topics you'd like us to cover, anything you want to see a tutorial on, or maybe if you're having a hard time with something and just, need some advice where we show you how to do something, then please, please, please let us know, because that way we can prep the content for you and have it for you in the next episode. And of course, you can do that via any of our social media, which of course we will post at the end of the show, as well as it will be in the show notes. But please don't sit on those. Please send them to us so that we can prep them. Now that we're going to a monthly format, we actually have enough time
We
to
have
do that
time to do the
properly.
stuff, and we want to make sure that
Yes.
the content we produce is good for you guys. So we would appreciate any of your thoughts and suggestions. I know we've got a couple of things already on the list, but we can always keep adding to it. We can always move things around to kind of accommodate.
Yes. And that does include anything that you would like to see for our After Dark show, which,
Yes.
yes, I know is still several months away, but that doesn't mean you can't start sending in ideas now, especially if there are particular guests you want us to have on the show, or if there are specific experiences that you'd like to see us have, like playing particular games or, going to a haunted house or something. Just let us know so we can prep that.
I would love to go to a haunted house with Amber.
In cosplay, of course. But yes, please start sending those in now so that we can prep. That's all. Cool. All right. I believe that is the end of announcements and updates. So let's move on to the meat of the show, which
Yummy.
is our awesome interview.
You started it.
We had an awesome interview
We
with
did.
Maker Fishmeal. And it's all about adhesives. So, of course, if you see Val alluding to the fact that Amber got really excited, which I did,
Very
because
much so.
it was a great conversation. It was a great
It
chat.
was.
So, without further ado, here's the interview.
Potters, we are starting off the season with an interview. With us today is Maker Fishmeal, an award-winning cosplayer and prop maker. They are releasing their very first book very, very soon. As of this recording date, it's going to be available February 25th of 2024. It is called The Ultimate Glue Guide: Everything You Need to Know About Adhesive for Cosplay, Crafts, and More. Obviously, the book was made for Amber. Maker, welcome to the podcast!
Yay! Thank you so much for having me. Amber, I'm so excited. Like seeing your reactions. I wrote this book for you, apparently. So like, and so few people have read it so far that getting anyone who's like excited about it is just feeling it on the inside. Anyway, hi. I'm Maker Fishmeal. My name is Annie. That's what's on the book. I'm a cosplayer. I started out as primarily a foamsmith and big prop maker, but I've been getting into sewing more and having a great time with that too. And yeah, I had a wonderful time writing this book, and I can't wait for everyone to see it and hopefully learn stuff from it.
Awesome.
See, I'm not only excited for myself and having read the book and like the glowing review I would give it, but I'm also really excited for our Potters to be able to see this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because we are a podcast all about putting information out there, educating folks, and
yes,
kind of helping those who might not be quite as confident about getting into the craft,
mm-hmm,
and getting them to kind of dip their toes into the water and get started. So
yeah,
speaking of getting started, can you
yeah
talk a little bit about how you got into the hobby and your love of adhesives?
Yeah. So I have a technical degree. I have a computer science degree, which does involve some creativity occasionally. But once I graduated college, I definitely like felt a lack in my heart and my soul and my hands, because I just didn't have like a creative outlet and I needed it. And cosplay for me is like the ultimate creative outlet, because there's always another thing to learn. There's always another tool to research and buy. There's always more to be creating and wearing and looking cool. So I got into cosplay for the making and the creativity side of it. And my first cosplay was of my D&D character at the time. And
lovely.
Oh, I want to return to her someday, especially now that D&D is having a moment. In terms of glue, my love of glue comes from my desire to make better quality things. I truly, truly believe that glue choice can and does affect the outcome of your crafts. Whatever it is that you're making, even if you're not cosplaying, if you're making a home repair, like glue choice is integral, right, mm-hmm, to how those creative pursuits come out. So, and I learned that the hard way. Like when I first started going to cons, things were falling off of me all the time. Like it was my worst nightmare at cons every time. So yeah, as I learned, I started collecting that information. I made a couple guides, put them on the internet. People loved it. And so when I was pitching ideas to my editor, we just happened to come up with this. I happened to mention this glue guide that had kind of gone viral. And she was like, oh, people want it. And I was like, oh, people need it. I needed it 5 years ago, 10 years ago. So yeah, that's where that came from. Like, I learned the hard way, and I want y'all to learn a slightly easier way by reading the book.
There's one thing I notice is that based off of all the other cosplay books that we have seen over the years, I think this is probably the first one where I'm like, this is strictly just adhesives.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's cool.
I think it's awesome. And when we were searching for comps for the book, like, to see what the competition was and what the comparative titles were, there's not really anything,
mm-hmm,
you know, which is one of the reasons why we expanded it. You know, it's like cosplay crafts and more. I think a lot of paper crafters, a lot of 3D printers, mini folks, they're going to find value in this too. So obviously I'm coming from a cosplay perspective, but I tried to be inclusive of, you know, all the crafts. As many as I could, anyway.
Now, those of us that are, we'll say, experienced cosplayers who have been around the block, we jokingly call ourselves cosplay elders.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Those of us who have, you know, been around the block a few times had to learn cosplay in a time where maybe there weren't so many guides and there weren't so many materials to work with, because we didn't have all of these really, like, high-tech plastics and these newer adhesives with newer technologies in them that people have nowadays. So kind of as you've gone through this learning journey, is more expensive better, have you found?
So for me, I have found that it definitely depends on what glue you're talking about. So if you're talking about hot glue, yes. Generally, if you pay more money, the chemicals in the hot glue, the rosin that actually makes the bond, will be better. I do not recommend buying a dollar store glue, hot glue sticks anymore, because they're just not going to be sticky. And so there are some things where a name brand is like actually worth it. But then there's also some where like super glue, PVA glue, which is like Elmer's glue. Mm-hmm. They're all basically like made up of the same chemicals, and it's going to get the job done generally. Yeah. So sorry for the answer, but that's the way it is.
You know, sometimes the truth is very, you know, 50-50, mm-hmm. where the answer really is, it depends.
It depends, yeah.
Now, since you did bring up hot glue, I wanted to ask, when is it okay? And more importantly, when is it not okay to use hot glue in a project, especially where it comes to low temp versus high temp?
Dude, I love the hot glue drama. I think it's a great conversation. And it has an element of accessibility to it, too.
Right.
You know, because a lot of folks who are using hot glue for a sewing project or something are doing it because they don't have a sewing machine, or mm-hmm. they don't know how to use it, or, you know, they don't have time for it, or they can't buy the right fabrics or whatever. So in terms of low temp versus high temp, I would say always go high temp unless you have a reason to go low temp. Like, high temp is always going to be stickier and more effective. So unless you're working on something that is very sensitive to heat, and a high temp glue gun is, or sorry, high temp glue is going to affect that material, go high temp. And if you are using something that's affected by heat, maybe a glue gun isn't the answer, and like, use something else instead. But you know, as for the rest of the hot glue drama, I think that sewing with hot glue is fine.
I'm gonna go crawl in my corner now.
I know. I would even go so far as to say that it's fine if you're being judged. As long as you have a reason. So if I'm judging you and you have glued a seam or some other sin against cosplay and crafting, I'm going to be like, why did you do this? And if you have a good reason, I actually think it's okay. And that reason might be, I'm a beginner and I don't have a sewing machine. And like, if you are a novice and you are showing me a sewn with glue garment, then maybe that's some creativity points that I would give to you. I like the conversation, but I think it goes a little too far sometimes.
Sure.
Along the judgmental direction.
I try not to be judgmental, but it does hurt my soul when people use hot glue on fabric.
Yeah, it hurts me too. Like, I don't do it unless I have a reason, but I think there are reasons.
Sure.
There are reasons. And I think sometimes hot glue is the answer too.
I do love hot glue.
To your crafting world. Yeah.
Just as an asterisk, high temp hot glue from experience is very, very adhesive, also including to flesh.
Yeah.
So for those
that
use it, please be careful. Otherwise, you will learn through experience like the rest of us did.
Yeah.
But I use that segue to say just briefly that one of my favorite things about your book is that you cover safety in great depth.
Yeah.
And I wanted to say thank you, because not every book does. Mm-hmm. And especially when you work with the chemicals that you do with some of these, safety becomes like important
vital
to your life and well-being.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, generally, the more dangerous an adhesive is, the more effective it is, and the other way around.
Right.
So, you know, when I'm talking about contact cement, my favorite glue, you have to protect your brain, your lungs. Like you can't use that all willy-nilly. And I recommend contact cement to even a pure beginner to cosplay. Like, I say go straight for the big stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But if you're going to go buy a bottle of contact cement, you also have to make sure that you have your respirator with the correct filters so that you're protecting yourself.
And you mentioned, so we've gone through hot glue, and then you mentioned just now that your favorite is contact cement.
It is.
So given your wide breadth of knowledge that you've acquired about all these different adhesives, how do you know which one is best for a job other than websites that a lot of cosplayers may know about, such as this or that, or I'm sorry, this to that?
Yeah. Well, you can buy my book.
That would help.
I think, you know, it comes with practice, as does, you know, a lot of stuff in this hobby where we're just like picking and choosing from lots of different hobbies. And generally, for me at least, I have come to know like what works with porous versus non-porous material, what's working with like a flexible versus inflexible material, what is going to be visible in one case, and what do I need to hide because I'm going to compete or something. So I do think it's a matter of practice, and I think that that's something that some beginner cosplayers need to hear, because, you know, choosing an adhesive and applying an adhesive can take, you know, it's a skill in some cases. Finding the right timing for your contact cement, or, you know, hiding your glue gun seams or whatever, like, they are things that you can get better at over time. And I know that contact cement can be hard to use at first, but I encourage people to keep going, keep trying, and find the things that work for you and for the materials that you're using.
I know that when you start getting into the multi-part adhesives, like epoxies and such, that those can also take a lot of practice, a lot of skill to kind of use, because you have to learn like how best to mix it, how fast you have to mix it, how much working time do you have, that sort of thing. Yeah. So can you talk a little bit about using adhesives that are in the short term or that are very quick versus adhesives that are long term?
Yeah. So this kind of goes back to what we were talking with safety. Very generally, an adhesive that dries faster will not be as powerful. So very generally, if you have a longer cure time, it's going to be a stronger hold. So something like a two-part epoxy will have like a 24 to 48 hour cure time. You know you're getting something really good out of that. Whereas like super glue, especially if you have an accelerator, it's just water. you know, that can cure in like 4 seconds. So, you know, again, it's like choosing the best weapon for your battle. So I'm going to put super glue in my emergency repair kit because I want something that'll cure really fast when I am trying to fix something at a con. But if I'm making a big prop that I need to like really, really hold together and I need to be able to trust it, then maybe I go to like two-part epoxy that I'm going to have to wait for, but it's going to be worth it.
Generally, I found from experience, with the sole exception of super glue, that the smellier an adhesive is, the better it tends to be about lasting.
I'm telling you, the more danger it is, the more dangerous it is, the more you can trust it. It sucks. Like, you just have to get a respirator, and then like you're good. You're good. You can use all the juicy stuff. And it applies to hot glue too. Like, the hotter it is, the better it is, generally.
Also true. And they've got some very interesting varieties of hot glue now that come with different types of like thermoplastics in it.
Yeah.
And different resins.
Yeah.
So there's definitely a lot that cosplayers have that they can experiment with now, because a lot of our local hobby stores and craft stores have started carrying a lot of these things. I mean, not in great quantity, but it doesn't take much if all you're doing is just like a small project to learn with.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Just you kind of get the feel of it. So while you were experimenting and learning, do you have any funny stories that you might be able to share?
So one of the things that I struggled with writing this book, and I took all the photographs too, which was a whole nother thing. Like, I was prepared. I was prepared to write it. I was not prepared to take book quality photographs. but one of the things I ran into was, There's a through line of like mending in the book. And I didn't have things to mend. Like, I was like, where is all my broken crap? you know, like, so I had to go to the thrift store and buy things to break so that I can take a photo of me fixing them. And it was just like, I'm spending money on this thing and then like kneeling over my work table, like begging it to break in a way that I'll be able to fix it and make it cute. Oh my gosh. It's just like the stuff that you would never expect to have to do in your life or for a project like this, you know? So that was the thing that I kept going back to, was like, am I waiting for things in my house to break so that I can take a photo of me fixing it?
I guess that's better than having to break your heart intentionally breaking something that you didn't want to break.
Yeah, no, for sure. Yeah. And I did get some cute stuff out of it. You know, like I got a mug from the thrift store that I really like, and it broke, so I don't... Yeah, I mean, I like it. I'm not mad about it.
I have to say, the photos in the book are actually very nice and very well done. Oh. I did like how clear everything was, too. It wasn't just very busy. It was like, oh, this has a purpose being here. This is really nice.
Yeah, thank you. I was going for, like, more of a minimalist, like, purely instructive vibe, so...
It comes across that way very, very well.
Awesome. Thank you. Glad to hear it.
Yeah, and the pictures also do a really good job of telling the story that you want to tell.
Yes.
As you're going through the tutorial step by step, so you can actually visually see, for people like me, they're visual learners.
Yeah.
Like, exactly what the words mean in practice.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yay. Yeah, you know, I come from a making tutorials background. So even though I did have to like level up my photography and make it even more professional and, you know, print quality, I do think that helped. Like I wasn't taking a massive step. Mm-hmm. You know, I had some background of like teaching through this text and photo medium. So yeah, it felt good. It felt good. And I learned a lot. So
now in the book, as readers will see when they buy your book,
yeah, thank you,
is that you have a very extensive chart in there that can actually be like kept for reference.
Yeah. Good Lord. Yes.
Like, you can print a separate copy and frame it on your workshop wall because you'll use it that often. How long did it take you to assemble that list?
A long time. It is it is the thing that I spent the most time on.
Really?
Yes. And then it took a long time to fit it into the book, which I did not expect and was not my job. So shout out to my book designers who fit this. I mean, I had it as an Excel spreadsheet. And when I submitted my book, like the expectation is that you submit as a document, not as a spreadsheet. Right. And I sent my editor an email and I was like, I'm not going to put this table into a Word document. Like, it's not going to be good for you. And so I had to submit two files. And then they like split it up so beautifully and made it so readable, and I never ever could have done that. I just made it and they made it beautiful. So yeah, it took a while, but I think it's the best part of the book. So yeah, happy with that.
We were talking about the cool thing with it is that it literally could be like its own separate thing that you could probably sell just for people to be like, here is the master list of everything I possibly could need. I have a PDF of it. I got it printed out and it's on my cork board. Yeah. It's that kind of good.
I should ask if we can include a PDF of it with the book sales. It's probably too late, but hearing all of this feedback, because y'all are not the only people who have said this. Everyone loves the chart. I love the chart. Definitely a learning moment for me for the next book is, you know, people want this on their walls. They want it laminated. Mm-hmm. They want it on their desktop computer. So yeah, I'm taking it away.
Oh yeah. And not only is the chart, you know, large and easy to read, which is very good, especially if you're sitting there working on a project and you just need to glance up to like, see, okay, this is what I need. you cover a lot of different materials in it.
Yes.
Including some materials that cosplayers may not use often, and all of a sudden they'll just go...
Right?
In fact, I actually see the posts occasionally on Reddit in the crafts section, and they're like, what adhesive would I need to put this to this?
Yeah.
And so you cover both porous and non-porous materials, yes. both of which require very different adhesives. So can you talk a little bit about how porosity can affect your project?
Yeah, so so a lot of us are foamsmiths, I'm assuming. So we know from working with foam, which is very porous, it's made out of holes, basically, that anything that you put on a porous material will soak into it. And sometimes that's a pain, like if you're trying to paint unsealed foam. But sometimes it's good because it means that the glue that you're using is actually, you know, sticking to the object that you're trying to stick to something else. So gluing to porous objects can be a little easier because you've got glue soaking into this guy, you've got glue soaking into this guy, and now you can connect the glue that's connected to both of them.
Mm-hmm.
If you are gluing a non-porous material, generally you're going to want to find a way to make that material a little more porous. And generally that you do that by sanding. So you're not adding cells of air to the object, but you are adding little holes where the glue can stick and sink in and really like grab on to that object.
Mm-hmm.
So if I am trying to glue two objects together that are non-porous, I want to sand as small a space as I can on each of them, and hopefully it won't be visible, and then apply glue and stick them together. So basically you're trying to make that like porous situation with a material that doesn't have that already.
Mm-hmm. And clearly a lot of these things like sandpaper, you'll have a few additional tools in your workshop that you'll probably need when you're working with adhesives, and you do go over all of this in the book. Now that said, if you're out at a convention, you probably won't have access to a lot of these things, and you might only have enough room to make like a little emergency kit in like a little quart size bag that you can take with you. So what's in your emergency kit?
Super glue. I'm not a huge fan of super glue for like general building. I don't like how brittle it is. I feel like I can't trust it. But in a repair situation, perfect, because it cures very quickly. It has a generally tight hold, and I can take the thing home and fix it in a way that's more suited to my tastes after the con. Something a little unconventional that I really like to have in my emergency kit is electrical tape. I am a huge fan of you like electrical tape too?
I do, yeah, that's great. I don't hear anybody else say they use electrical tape. Oh my goodness.
So there's several reasons I love electrical tape. First of all, it's usually black. And for the costumes I make, black is going to like blend in better.
Mm-hmm.
It's stretchy.
Yes.
Which a lot of tape is not stretchy, so you can use it more flexibly. Like you can use it on a garment that's actually going to have to move, or like if you want to wrap it real tight around a prop that's falling apart, you can do that in a way that duct tape, which a lot of people would think of first as a repair material, like duct tape doesn't stretch, so it's going to have less strength in that way. And also electrical tape is small. Like it's much smaller than a standard roll of duct tape. So, you know, if I have my super glue and my roll of electrical tape, like this is something I can put in my cosplay pocket and actually have on my person. So yeah, those are my two go-tos. And then a needle and thread that matches my costume. Those are like every time.
There are some mainstays I think all of us have in there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I'm pretty sure a needle and thread, and then those mini sewing scissors that are like 2 inches long.
Oh my gosh. 3 inches
yes.
Long.
Yes.
Those I'm pretty sure everybody has in their kit at this
and
point. And for
pins.
Good reason.
Safety pins.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
I have a very tiny, tiny high-tip hot glue gun, but it works
Ooh.
Great.
Oh my goodness.
I love it.
When you say anything like this,
it's
like I'm
tiny.
A fan. Yeah, I'm down for that.
Literally pocket-sized.
It's pocket-sized, quite literally.
No. And I know that like an emergency kit is to one's own taste.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, my emergency kit is just what I like, and I'm mm-hmm. interested in what everyone else keeps in theirs.
Well, Potters, that can definitely be something that you're welcome to discuss as we bring it up on our social media after the episode is over, and we can all show pictures of our emergency repair kits.
Yeah, show pictures of your hot glue seams too.
Yes.
This is a no shame zone. I've decided.
There we go.
This episode.
We are the Planet Fitness of cosplay.
Yeah.
Now, speaking of no shame zones.
Yeah.
As we learn through experimentation, especially when you have to repair cosplay in a hurry, which heaven knows I have done at a convention more times than I can count. Sometimes you spill things on your cosplay in the process of repair, and it's not fun.
No.
However, there are things that you can use to clean up adhesives.
Yeah.
So on the flip side of your emergency repair kit, what's in your emergency cleanup kit?
So I keep acetone in my workshop because I am constantly overdoing it with glue. It's a passion. It's a passion of mine. So I'm just like going too far all the time. So for almost all adhesives, acetone will break down the actual stickiness of the glue. So even if it's not like removing the glue, often it'll get the glue to a point where you can just like do this kind of thing and it'll just flake off. To that end, I also really like sandpaper for cleaning adhesive or even like my Dremel. I find that contact cement is very Dremelable. So if I overdo a contact cement seam, I'll just let it cure completely, gas off it completely 24 hours, and then I will sand off the contact cement. So those are my two go-tos for cleaning up, which is often.
That's okay. Like we said, no shame zone.
No shame zone.
We're not shaming anyone here. I would just simply like to remind people that acetone is highly flammable. Please take care with it. It is a good thing to have around. Just safety first, safety second, safety third. And speaking of experimentation, because heaven knows we all do it.
Mm-hmm.
All of us do it, even if we won't admit to it. Again, no shame zone whatsoever.
It's one of the best parts of cosplay.
It is.
It's like, it's fun. What is this going to do? How is this going to work?
It's so much fun.
Yeah. Are people going to make fun of me for this?
How can I make the foam look like this?
Yeah. I make that an expectation that people are going to think I'm like the weird...
The weirder, the better.
Like the mad doctor who does experimentations with a very darkly lit room and electricity flying all...
Be the mad scientist.
Yes, exactly.
It's the fun of it.
So that said, what inspires you when you go to experiment and use things and maybe combinations that people wouldn't normally think about?
I am so inspired by what I'm currently working on. Like I'm working toward a thing. I'm not the kind who's like, what will this do? What will this do? Like all willy-nilly. That's just not my, I'm goals. I've got my eyes on the prize, and the prize is walking across the stage. So when I choose a costume, I'm looking at it and saying, what am I going to learn from this costume? And maybe it's a wacky combination of materials, like you're implying. Or maybe it's like a new skill. Or maybe it's, I have no idea how I'm going to do that. I don't even know where to start, but I'm committing, you know? So for me, it's like I'm diving in the pursuit of this thing that I love and I've gotten attached to.
Mm-hmm.
I love that taking baby steps toward this thing that you have in your mind and hanging on your wall in front of you and set as your phone background.
I heard rumors that super glue and baking soda might make an interesting combination.
Dude, it's so... This one comes from the mini community. They they fix their models. Like if a model breaks or a little piece comes off, yeah, you can mix super glue and baking soda, and it creates like a paste. It reminds me a little bit of two-part epoxy sculpt, but it's not like clay. It's more of like a filler. It's great. It's really great as just kind of a tool in your back pocket, using things that you already have in your house to fill holes or reconstruct your little props or your 3D prints. Love that.
I noticed you can do something similar for those who are foamsmiths and work with the EVA floor mats.
Yeah.
When you Dremel that stuff, it makes for a very, very fine powder.
Oh.
It also makes a really good filler or mixer with adhesives, because that way when the adhesive sets, the foam
gets
shape. I fully admit I am a pack rat. I am a hoarder. I will even save the dust from my shape EVA foam, because it's like, you know, I can make something else with this.
So what do you use, like white glue, or like what glue do you use? Yeah, like Mod Podge or something?
Actually, I usually use either the Elmer's glue, or I'll use something like Craft Bond because it's flexible.
Yes.
That way when it dries, it's not
rigid.
I love
that. You're kind of making your own foam clay.
Yeah.
Yes,
but like more watered down maybe.
Yes. And the
like
nice thing is that, yes, the good thing is that it gives you a longer working time than super glue, which I find for me usually tends to be a massive problem.
Yeah. you know, something I learned about super glue writing this book, and I did not know this, was super glue cures when it's exposed to water. So that's what I was talking about earlier, where like if you buy super glue accelerator, just put water in a spray bottle and you have super glue accelerator. But that's the reason why when we're using super glue to adhere to things, often it adheres to our fingers instead. Because your fingers have water on them and around them. Like, you create your own water. So, I don't know. Use that knowledge as you will. Use that for good or evil. But, super glue, it just cures with water. And that's why you bond to the glue.
It's a very bonding. It's a great bonding experience. acetone, also very good for getting it off the fingers.
Yes.
Can confirm.
You don't have to rip your skin off.
Yeah, please don't. Don't use sandpaper on your skin, please. I know that will get it off, but it's also very painful.
All right. We are nearly out of time. So we're going to do our grab bag questions. Everybody,
Yay!
Potters, you know what time this means. It means the fun ones. All right. So here we go. First off, what is your favorite material or tool to work with?
My Dremel. I love my Dremel. I Dremel every single piece of foam that I work with. And I have the flex shaft.
Ooh.
So I don't have to hold the motor in my hand. I can just hold the rotating part, and I love that thing so much.
Ooh, fancy. All right, and then what one piece of advice would you give to first-time cosplayers?
I need to come up with a new one, y'all, because for years and years, my piece of advice has been think about your glue choices. So now everyone just thinks I'm, like, pitching my book, but, like, I swear... This is how much I care about glue, okay? Is I've actually been giving this advice to everyone, including myself, for years and years. So here's my advice for a beginner or an intermediate or an advanced cosplayer. Before you glue two things together, take a moment, take a breath. Is this the glue that you want to be using right now? and the answer is probably yes, because you're awesome. But if it's not, then, you know... Don't.
That is still very solid advice, though, because there have been plenty of times where I sit and I'm like, do I really want to do these two items together with this adhesive, or do I just want to hot glue it? And 99% of the time I end up hot gluing it.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a choice.
It is.
Like, if you're going for speed, hot glue is maybe, you know, or if you want to fill a gap, or if you, you know, there's reasons, but... If you're going for competition, or if you want it to be perfect, or if you have the time and the ventilated area to use contact lens, then maybe do that instead.
Yeah. Plus, sometimes you may not want two things to be adhered together permanently. Sometimes you may want to be able to take them back apart. And there have been many times when I question, it's like, do do I want to be able to take this apart later so that I can wash parts of it?
Yeah.
And then you have to start like thinking ahead down the line to your goal, like you mentioned, and
thinking ahead,
planning things out. I mean, experimentation is great. Don't get me wrong, but you do have to do a little bit of planning at least before you hit the end goal so that you're not redoing.
I think that's a great point too. And I hadn't thought to incorporate this into this piece of advice that I've given a million times. Do I actually want to be gluing these together at all? Like maybe I want to be using hook and loop or, you know, a strap or something.
Magnets.
Yeah. Purse snaps. I love purse snaps.
Oh, snaps are the best.
Yeah. I'm stealing that from y'all and I'm going to pass that along.
Val is a very much a snaps and a hook and loop person.
Yeah. Heck yeah. Me too.
I'm like the biggest magnet fan on the planet.
Oh man. I'm obsessed with high strength Velcro.
Yes.
Sometimes it feels like high strength Velcro is the best adhesive.
It really does at times where you just think, you know what, when all else fails, I know if I have the strongest Velcro known to man, nothing bad's going to happen to
Absolutely.
This.
Absolutely.
And I can take everything apart afterward. Yeah. It's great.
You know, and that's something that I teach when I'm teaching. I always say, like, if you're afraid that this is going to fall off, like if this is something that's in danger of getting hit at a con or something, and you're going to be devastated if it comes apart, make it come apart.
Yeah.
You know, like make it so that if it gets knocked off, if you lose your pauldrons, you know, if your pauldron falls off in the con and it's attached with Velcro, you can just put it right back on.
Boop,
you know,
done.
Like, yeah, you don't even have to have your super glue that you're going to have to replace when you go.
Right. And you also don't have to worry about injuring yourself or others.
Absolutely.
If something breaks off, and if you use a hard enough adhesives, it may break off in shards.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And that's not fun.
Or it pulls you with it.
That's the worst.
Yeah. That's not fun. Like, safety first, like not only with the adhesives, but just for you as a cosplayer.
Yeah. Yeah.
We Let's all want you all, you know, happy, healthy, and safe so that we can keep seeing all of you at cons.
Yeah.
Alrighty. Well, Maker, thank you so much for joining us. Where can people follow you online and learn more about your work?
I am Maker Fishmeal on Instagram and Facebook. If you would like to sign up for my newsletter, I have a coupon in there for 10% off my anything from my shop. And if you would like the book, it's available for pre-order if it's before February 25th when you're listening, or you can just order it if it's after February 25th. If you would like a personalized copy, I do have those for sale in my shop at makerfishmeal.com.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much. Greatly appreciated. We love the book.
No,
we hope
you.
It does well.
Yay! I'm so glad you liked it. I seriously, like, every time I hear it, I just take a deep breath.
Honestly,
I'm
really kind of hoping they include it in the next Cosplay Humble Bundle.
Oh my god,
that would be great.
I hadn't even considered that. That would be so incredible.
Those are amazing.
Oh my goodness. I want to see people hanging the book on their wall with the like one page open on the this to that grid. Oh my god. Uh-huh. That would be so cute. I'm going to make little holes in mine.
See, they'll have it on their iPad because I noticed a lot of people will put iPads on their work table.
Yeah.
They're working. So that way you can, like, if you have a pattern set of instructions, you can keep scrolling past it. And then they'll have a printed copy of the chart, like, next to them.
I'm writing my editor an email. We need a PDF ASAP. The people are asking for the PDF.
We need a PDF.
Charge a little extra for lamination.
Well, thank you so much. We greatly appreciate it. And we hope you the best with the book coming out super, super soon.
Thank you.
Just a reminder that the book, as of this recording, has not released yet. So you can't have it yet.
But
you can pre-order it.
Yes. And there are links in the show notes.
Indeed. And so we highly encourage you all to take a look at it. We're not necessarily just going to go out and tell people to buy it. I mean, obviously would highly recommend it, but we're not going to sit here and like guilt trip anybody into doing it.
Right.
But it's a great book. It's well worth it. Keep an eye out. The next time that you see one of those cosplay Humble Bundles, it might be in there. And those are great times to pick up a whole bunch of cosplay books at once. Highly recommend that one too. But thank you again, of course, to Maker Fishmail.
Yes, it was a wonderful interview. Really appreciated talking to them. It was a lot of fun.
Yes, and also thank you very much for sharing their knowledge with us.
Yes, I think it's one of the reasons why we enjoyed this one, because it came from a different angle from us, well, for us, and it was very knowledge heavy. So I'm sure our listeners and viewers are going to get a huge kick out of that.
Yes, and there's even more knowledge in the book
than
what even we got out of the conversation.
Oh yeah, this was just the surface of what we scratched.
Yes, you'll hear us reference multiple times in the conversation that there's a set of reference sheets that are very handy. I need that for all of my cosplay, honestly. Like, my entire cosplay life needs to just be set up in a series of reference sheets that I just need to have framed around my workshop area.
That would be a very Amber thing to do.
Yes, it would. My workshop is a very practical area. I'm working on decorating it. I'm almost done with my embroidered pillows so that I can just kind of spruce it up. And I have all my framed art that I have up there
There you go.
So it's not plain anymore. I'm getting there.
Get some activity and liveliness in it. Sometimes it helps with the inspiration.
Yes, which at the moment I don't really need inspiration. My problem is that every time, and maybe you all potters like have this experience, so... maybe you will just nod knowingly as I say this, but as soon as I've made something, I immediately think either I want to change what I just made and do it another way, or I want to redo it because it's not as good as I know I could have done it. And I have to fix it, and I can't fix it by just like taking off a couple of things and just putting new pieces back on. No, I have to redo it from scratch so that I know that it was done like to the best of my ability, because I'm a perfectionist and I need to break myself of that habit. But even when I do things like make the headpiece, which I'm actually working on finishing right now, and I have a little sketch of how I want it to look, and then I see somebody else's cosplay of a completely different character, and it's like, huh, I wonder if I could do the headdress that way instead, even though it's not canon, but it would look really cool. And it's like, no, now I have to make it that other way now and just abandon what I did in the first place. So it's like I can't stick to one plan because I see the shiny somewhere else. And then it's like, ooh, I need to make it like that shiny. So I just can't stay on track, and it's terrible. That's how my cosplay just is nowadays.
You're like a dog, but it's very adorable.
I perpetually want to make it cooler.
Yeah.
Although at the moment, I don't want anything else to be cooler because it's already freezing cold.
Ba-dum-bum-psh.
Anyway.
On that note.
Of course, if you would like to join in with your own stories of cosplay consistency and sticking to your goals, feel free to join in the conversation and let Amber know what she needs to do differently via any of our social media, which of course you can find here.
All the information for the viewers is located underneath Amber right over there. Look at that. Blue Sky has a logo now and it's cute. So yay, I updated everything. For those who are listening, visit us at cospod.org, on Facebook and Instagram at Cosplay Podcast, on YouTube as CosPodcast, and on Blue Sky as CosPod.
You can also email us, podcast@cospod.org, where you'll get an answer from each one of us, along with curated Nick Cage memes.
Hooray!
Because in 2024, he is still the mascot, unofficially, of our show.
You need to remind me to move the memes to my new computer, because they're currently on the old computer. And I keep forgetting to move them.
Alrighty. Otherwise... please stay safe, stay healthy out there, stay warm as well. Keep working on those cosplays as best as you can so that we can all see your smiling, shining faces at a convention local to us ASAP. Otherwise, we will see you all in episode 290. Happy cosplaying, everybody.
Bye!